time. It's always vanishing. The commute, the errands, the work functions, the meetings, selling your car. Unless you sell your car with Carvana. Get a real offer in minutes. Get it picked up from your door. Get paid on the spot. So fast, you'll wonder what the catch is. There isn't one. We just respect you and your time. Oh, you're still here? Move along now. Enjoy your day. Sell your car today.
Carvana.
Pickup fees may apply.
I'm John Batchel with my colleague and friend, Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News. Volodymyr Zelensky writes the Telegraph, London reporting, has insisted that Ukraine will succeed. The quote, "We have some slow steps forward in the south of our country. Also, we have steps on the east, and some, I think, good steps near Kherson region. I'm sure that we'll have success. It's difficult," he told Reuters. This in response, we can presume, to remarks by the general commanding the Ukrainian army, using the word stalemate, talking about how little has been accomplished against the Russian defenses during the spring offensive because, as the general says correctly, the advantages to the defender when it comes to prepared positions and the ability to strike with drones and with shoulder-fired weapons against armor. Jeff, I was not in any way struck out of nowhere by the general's remarks. Stalemate is one English word we use when it comes to the battlefield not moving. It was a political flap that maybe has been healed by this time. Is there any expectation you have that that stalemate can be broken come the springtime?
Well, of course, the Ukrainians still believe so. That's what Zelensky said. Zelensky went on to say that there would be better battlefield results by the end of 2023. Indicating that the Ukrainians plan to continue the offensive even in the wintertime, and that they have a full and detailed battle plan for 2024, but obviously he could not release details on that. Again, I would say he would have to say this in part because one of his main goals as president of the country is to maintain the morale of the population, and they are becoming war weary as well. There was some argument as well by some Ukrainians. I spoke to a senior official just yesterday in Kyiv. That the word stalemate, when translated from Ukrainian, means something slightly different. We would say stalemate means deadlock, which means nothing's really changing. They would argue their word for this actually means that there is still some progress being made, albeit somewhat slow. And we have seen some suggestion. We saw, of course, another strike against a naval vessel in Crimea. We've seen continued efforts by the Ukrainians to try to establish a better bridgehead across from Kherson on the eastern side of the Dnipro River. And again, we got reports today claimed by the Ukrainian special intelligence services that they conducted a successful bombing to kill a Russian-backed Ukrainian lawmaker in Luhansk progress. So there's some of that going on as well. I quizzed my colleague about why did General Zelensky make this particular statement at this time, because it certainly seemed to surprise the president. So maybe a poor control in terms of military-civil cooperation. He said it was interesting from his perspective, and he posited that it was likely, one, a plea for more support from the West coming from him as well as from Zelensky. Number two, that it was kind of, you know, this is not my fault. Here you have Zelensky, who's been in command since the war began, and now if we are at stalemate, it's his effort to perhaps say, not my fault, the battlefield has changed. And then last but not least, we are hearing a lot more complaints by Ukrainians that I'm talking with, who basically say, well, the real fault lies with the West. If you'd provided us ATACMs, if you'd provided us tanks more quickly, if you'd provided us HIMARS more quickly, then the whole condition of the battlefield would be very different. It was that slow dribble management. And you remember our conversations where the West agonized, John, over the delivery of tanks that has brought Ukraine to where it is right now.
Your professional eye, Colonel, has war changed on the battlefield because of those shoulder-fired missiles and because of drones?
I think to some degree it has. And I think Zelensky's piece, I thought, was very instructive just in talking about what 21st century warfare looked like. He emphasized the need to gain air superiority. It always caused me to wonder when people questioned why Ukraine was not moving quickly, when I would point out to them, I can't remember an offensive since the invention of the airplane when the group that was conducting an offensive was successful while the other side, in this case the Russians, has air superiority. He also talked about the ability to breach minefields in depth and do so rapidly because of the ability to restock minefields. And really, one of the key things is back to drones in terms of the fact that the battlefield is so transparent. As you try to clear a minefield, those are covered not only by fire, but by drones that can engage you. And then finally, two other points I thought was very interesting, and that was the need to improve effective counter-battery fire. And we've talked a lot, John, in our commentary about this being an artillery war and the need to be better at destroying your opponent's artillery pieces. And then finally, that the Russians, as they always have been, are quite good at electronic warfare. And one of the challenges the Ukrainians have had in the conduct of the counteroffensive is Russian electronic warfare, which has tended to interrupt their command and control and make the management of large maneuver forces very, very difficult. All those things, I think, indicators of the changed nature of warfare, the greater transparency of the battlefield, the enhanced need for advanced technology in the 21st century.
A surprising detail from the London Telegraph. This is fog of war. We can't confirm anything, but it's here, and I'm going to feature it because I've not seen this twist before. Elite Ukrainian forces hunt down Wagner fighters in Sudan. Subhead, footage filmed in the last 2 weeks in an unnamed Sudanese city as part of Kyiv's campaign to show nowhere is safe for its enemies. Striking, Jeff, striking. This is commando stuff. This is the sort of thing that you associate with assassinations. When Yamamoto, for example, that was an operation that was run by an intercept, as I recall, and it required the President of the United States and Admiral Nimitz to sign off on it to take the battlefield of the Sudan. Are you surprised, Jeff?
I am a bit surprised, John, but when you think about it, there's a couple of things you're trying to do. You're trying to make your adversary think that you can reach out and touch them anywhere, causing them concern. Second of all, you're sending a message to people in the Wagner group, as we discuss after the demise of their leader, whether or not they ought to integrate into Russian forces, that you really don't need to do that because we're going to reach out and touch you. And number three, and very importantly, these kind of operations, just like the car bombing and killing that one Ukrainian but Russian-backed politician, are really for morale at home. Don't forget, John, that the celebrated morale at home back to Snake Island.
Right.
And the two Ukrainian soldiers basically flipping the bird to a Russian naval task force taken there to take them out. Those kind of things are very, very important in expanding and improving and maintaining morale of the population at home.
Colonel Jeff McCausland, CBS News, Dickinson College, Diamond 6 Leadership and Strategy. I'm John Beck.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.